At Vistaprint, we know you've got that idea for your business, like the one that nails the trade show, levels up your brand, or makes your team say,
"We're really doing this."
But an idea is just an idea until it's printed on
signage, giveaways, custom apparel.
Once it's
in my hands, on my team, out in the world,
then it's happening.
It's so happening.
Vistaprint has thousands of products, easy design tools, and real support to turn that idea into something possible. Print your possible with code NEW20 for 20% off your first order at Vistaprint.com.
What is Toyota affordability? It's buying smart. Right now, your local Toyota dealer has great deals available on some of the most reliable trucks on the market, like the off-road ready Tacoma, rugged full-size Tundra, and the legendary 4Runner, each with the space, tech, and features to handle it all, from the worksite to the trails. It means driving for less, with efficient hybrid options available, extending your overall driving range, and delivering great MPGs, meaning bigger savings at the pump without sacrificing power. And it means trading for more. The Tacoma and Tundra are ranked number one and number two in resale value over all vehicles according to Kelley Blue Book, which can mean thousands more than average when it's time to trade in. That's Toyota affordability. Buy smart, drive for less, and trade for more. Shop Toyota.com or your local dealer for deals and details. Vehicles projected resale value is specific to the 2026 model year. For more information, visit KelleyBlueBook's KBB.com. Toyota brand average resale value is 53% versus the average vehicle at 45%. Toyota, let's go places.
The days are longer, the calendar's filling up, and I want to feel as good as this beautiful summer weather. That's why I've been loving Grooms. It's one daily pack of gummies that covers my greens, vitamins, minerals, and even has 6 grams of prebiotic fiber. So I don't need to juggle a complicated wellness routine on top of everything else. They taste amazing. They're easy to toss in my bag on the go. Plus, they're vegan, gluten-free, and HSA, FSA eligible for reimbursement. Save up to 52% off with code PODCAST at Grooms.co. That's code PODCAST at GRUNS.
Good morning and welcome to Sunday Take. It's July 5th, 2026. I'm your host, Blois Olson, and it is the 250th anniversary of our country and the 4th of July weekend, which should make us all reflect on democracy and what we have in this country. Especially during an election year, obviously, the future of the country, the future of the state are very much the topics at hand. This past week seemed a little quieter in the political front, but things are going to be in a sprint starting this coming week. One of the issues is TV ads in these primaries, from the governor's race to the U.S. Senate races in both Republican and Democratic parties, as well as the CD2 primary. Last week, we talked about five things to watch in the primary, and you can go back to any of your podcast channels and listen to Sunday Take last week. Five things to watch before the August 11th primary. We're about a month away from Farm Fest, where rural Minnesota gathers. You get a sense of the farm economy. We'll be there. I'll be moderating the gubernatorial panel. Just side editorial note, those are not debates. They are forums. Of course, there is some debating that goes on, but they're bipartisan with all members of the race in the discussion. And so it's not a face-to-face debate as one would see traditionally. This coming week, you're going to start to see kind of some differentiation, I think, in the TV ads, especially in the governor's race, especially in the Republican primary. My gut is that Lisa Damith's campaign is that it has to start to kind of separate itself or sprint away from the pack here. We're going to go to Panaprog, the parade, in the next week, get a sense of what suburban Lakeville, purple area, feels about this election. Did not get to any parades this weekend. Used it for rest and recharge for the sprint from now till August and then again till November. This week, it's an extended conversation with Peggy Flanigan. She's running for the U.S. Senate. She's the current lieutenant governor. We had a good long chat, but we didn't cover all the topics that I would like to cover. But in any other words, it's a Sunday morning conversation. So grab another cup of coffee when we come back. Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanigan talks about if she's elected to the U.S. Senate, What committees does she want to be on? Where is she on Israel versus Palestine and much more? I'm Blois Olson. This is Sunday Take on News Talk 830 WCCO. Welcome back to Sunday Take. This week's guest, as I mentioned in the open, is Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanigan. She's running for the U.S. Senate, and we're going to have an extended conversation about why she wants to be in the U.S. Senate. She had not joined me since she announced, and I'm happy that she joins me this 4th of July weekend. Lieutenant Governor Flanigan, thanks for being here.
Absolutely, and happy birthday, America.
Happy birthday, America. Let's just start with what you've heard and learned in the year plus you've been out campaigning for the U.S. Senate.
Sure. Well, we have gone everywhere across the state. We've done over 250 events in 117 communities. And what's been really exciting about all of that is that, you know, we're trying to meet people where they're at. So we've literally done events in the basement of the Hibbing Library next to the Bob Dylan exhibit, you know, to the VFW and East Grand Forks, to people's literal living rooms and garages and farmhouses. And, you know, everywhere I go, people just tell me that they are kind of sick and tired of the status quo and folks nibbling around the edges, and they are ready for big, bold change. And, you know, I'm running so that people can afford their lives. I'm a kid who grew up on the margins and understand what it means, right, to try to stretch 20 bucks through the end of the week, right? You know, we grew up in similar circumstances. And so, you know, that I think is, you know, what we're hearing from folks. They are ready for folks to be bold and to meet them where they're at. And that's what this campaign, you know, has been all about. And I think it's why we've been able to secure the DFL endorsement, because we've done this relationship building and organizing on the ground. And I think will serve us well as we go into the primary and into the general.
You talk about affordability, you look at the economy we've been through. It's been volatile for at least 6+ years through Democratic presidents, through Republican presidents. What can a U.S. senator actually do to lower costs for the average Minnesotan?
Well, the number one thing that, you know, I've heard from people that they have concerns about is just the high cost of healthcare in our state. And, you know, I know for myself, I didn't start off as a supporter of Medicare for All, but I got there because I heard directly from people about how the high cost of healthcare was, you know, impacting their lives. So I think, you know, Medicare for All is at the top of my list as one of the things that we need to get done for people. And, you know, it was stories in particular from farmers and from folks in greater Minnesota who have, you know, fewer options, their costs are higher. And I talked to one mom who, you know, told me that, you know, she pays $16,000 a year for their deductible and had to pay $500 for a 5-minute med check, and that was just unsustainable for her and for her family. Her husband is a farmer. She works as a librarian and knows that they keep her just under the number of hours needed to qualify for healthcare. That is a story that is not unique and is something that I have heard over and over from folks. And so I think it's, you know, things like Medicare for All, universal childcare, the things I think that really get to, you know, how people are feeling squeezed every single day, raising wages, you know, are things that we can do, and we can do in, you know, in the United States Senate and from the federal government, because folks are really feeling it. And those are the places that we can take action.
What are the committees that you would want to serve on if you are elected to the Senate?
Sure. Well, I'd like to sit on the, you know, the HELP committee. health, education, labor, and pensions. I think that is, you know, for me as someone who cares tremendously about the high cost of healthcare, as a recovering school board member and child advocate, education, of course, and just making sure that, you know, people have what they need. I know that as a freshman senator, it's often, you know, it's unlikely that appointment would be made, but I certainly am going to, you know, shoot for the stars. I also think, and you know this, right, Blois, that we have had, you know, leadership on the Ag Committee from Minnesota mm-hmm. for a very long time. That is an incredibly important committee, both to, you know, our state, but to this country. I'm certainly interested in serving on Ag. And, you know, I am not running to make history, but it's probably about time that we had a Native American woman serving for the first time in the United States Senate. And so the Indian Affairs Committee is a place where I would like to serve. And frankly, this seat, right, Senator Wellstone sat on Indian Affairs, Al Franken did, Senator Tina Smith does as well. And I think that that's an important perspective, especially now that, you know, Mark Wayne Mullen is no longer serving in that capacity. And so having a voice directly from Indian country, I think makes a lot of sense. But those feel like the places where, you know, I could do a lot of good work. Those are the places where, you know, it is about people being able to afford their lives. And I think I bring an important perspective into those spaces.
You know, one of the things you've touted, he's coming back, Senator Bernie Sanders' endorsement. And, you know, there's an active conversation, A, in the country, B, within the Democratic Party about, you know, a push left. Senator Sanders considers himself a democratic socialist. Where do you find yourself? Are there differences you have with Senator Sanders? I think one of the challenges and why I appreciate longer conversations is because we can kind of dig in a layer deeper so that Minnesotans can really understand their choice, where the issues are. You've explained the issues, but obviously, you know, all these campaigns roll up these endorsements, but the relationship or the, you know, who's your kind of guiding post, if not Senator Sanders, if you're elected to the Senate?
Well, I would say this. I think, you know, we've put together a really strong coalition of endorsements and supporters. Bernie Sanders, of course, is one of those endorsements. But what's really important, I think, in this moment is to just tell people I'm a DFLer, right? Like, to my core, I have been part of the Democratic Farmer Labor Party as long as I can remember, from, you know, canvassing in, you know, 1982 for my auntie, who was running for the state Senate here in, you know, St. Louis Park, and have, you know, consistently been part of this party. But, you know, Senator Sanders' endorsement, I think, is for me powerful in that he has been willing to take on big corporations, you know, special interests, and really fight for working people. But Senator Tina Smith's endorsement is one of the most meaningful for me. She has, you know, led, I think, really effectively in this role, and knows what it takes. And for her to endorse me, I think, is really meaningful. But this coalition, right, of folks who are currently serving in Washington, who've stepped up to support this campaign, right, it's a group of senators calling themselves the Fight Club, right?
And yeah.
So that's, you know, which is funny, right? Because, you know, the number one rule of Fight Club is you don't talk about it.
Talk about Fight Club, yep.
That's right. But it's, you know, Senator Warren, Senator Sanders, Murphy, Merkley, Van Hollen, Heinrich, and Markey. And so, you know, those are folks who I think people see, you know, as fighters, as progressives, and that matters to me. But we also have the majority of the support from DFL legislators in the state, and that's powerful. The DFL endorsement itself, I think, is deeply meaningful as well. And I don't think that, you know, what is happening in this country should be fully framed as, you know, one side versus the other. I think it's less about ideology, and I think it's more about change that people, you know, wanna shake things up. And, you know, this is the opportunity. And I think in this race and in this primary in particular, I do think that there's a, you know, there's a contrast, right, between myself and Congresswoman Craig. I think, you know, Congresswoman Craig voted with Donald Trump more than any other Minnesota Democrat, you know, supported Trump's immigration bill, which I think unleashed ICE and a lot of the things that we've experienced here. She voted for crypto's, you know, dream bill when it came up last year. And, you know, she's funded by a lot of the same donors who contributed to Donald Trump. So this is, I think, a contrast race, and, you know, that folks are going to be given a real choice, I think, in this election.
President Trump is clearly unpopular in Minnesota. He's never won here. It's a midterm. We can look at all the trends. But let's go back to Operation Metro Surge for a sec. As lieutenant governor, you know, and I will just say that one of the, you know, lenses to see during Metro Surge wasn't just the offense of Operation Metro Surge or the bullying of federal agents on our citizens, but it was a lack of calm leadership from Governor Walz. It was this, it has to be a fight. I don't know who to talk to. I don't know what to do. Looking back, that's, you know, when you say people don't want this fight, but the reflex from partisans is it's always a fight, that the tone doesn't come down very quickly, even in the toughest moments. Can you reflect and say that anything about how, you know, maybe you approach that differently, even as offended as many of us were about the tactics and strategy, right? Kristi Noem announced they were coming, and then there was this, well, let's just wait and see what it looks like, rather than what do you need to do? But in a state like Michigan, they didn't have that issue and they had a Democratic governor. And I think, I don't want to relive the whole thing, but it's one of those moments of leadership that I think a lot of nonpartisan people looked at and said, it didn't have to escalate between the governor and the president at that time.
Well, I would say this. I think the way that we handled ourselves as a state, and I mean the collective we, right? Yep. And how we showed up for our neighbors, yep. I think was really a model for how we don't have to be powerless in this moment under President Trump. I do think that it is, what we saw was not normal.
Right.
And sending 3,000 federal agents to Minnesota under, you know, these conditions where our communities were terrorized, where we lost two Minnesotans. You know, what we saw happen in Illinois, right? Yep. They sent 300. Right, federal agents there, not 3,000. But it also, I think one of the things and one of my frustrations with the, you know, with the Lake and Riley Act, which, you know, I think really gave permission for many of the things that we saw happen, not just here in Minnesota, but across the country, was also, I think there's somehow this notion that people didn't understand what was potentially coming. President Trump had signaled throughout his entire election, right, that he wanted mass deportations. And yep. You know, it wasn't in the fine print. It was literally all caps and signs behind him, right, at rallies. And so, you know, and speaking for myself, right, I went to one of my first trainings for how we were going to protect our neighbors in December of 2024, because communities knew what was coming. And, you know, was in the basement of our church organizing and how we were going to respond and keep each other safe in January of 2025. And so I just share that because Operation Metro Surge, of course, was outrageous. And what happened here on the ground, we are still recovering from economically, but also as someone who has spent a lot of time advocating for children. I think about all of these kids who now have an adverse childhood experience score or an ACE score, who will have to deal with that for the rest of their lives. But that this was something that we knew was coming, and people were organizing on the ground to keep each other safe. A lot of the networks that had been built, relationships and trust were, you know, that had been built over time, were able to, you know, respond. But I don't know how you cannot push back on what I think is, you know, clearly authoritarian in its nature, and what we saw happening in the streets, and, you know, Alex Pretty and Renee Good losing their lives, and somehow think that there cannot be a response that isn't grounded in outrage. And I think most people, right, were standing outside of daycares and churches, right?
Well, I mean, I think a lot of people were, but I don't think most people were.
Yeah, but I think there are folks, you know, and I know in our church community, our parish, we're still feeding 350 families, households every week because of the economic impact, right? Folks are coming back, right, to, you know, to worship, but it is still going to be a long recovery. So I just, I think this is something that we have never seen before. Folks have to, you know, use their voices to push back. And to be clear, it was called Operation Metro Surge, but these ICE agents were everywhere and have been everywhere. And, you know, for me, like, we are seeing this like in real time as we've traveled across the state, when we're in Detroit Lakes, when we're in Alexandria, when we're in St. Cloud, literally people's phones going off because there, you know, were ICE agents in the community while we were in town, right? Farmers who've been impacted due to lack of workforce. And so for me, all of this, you know, what we've experienced, this was not a secret that this was coming. And, you know, again, this is one of those places where it is a clear contrast, I think, between myself and my primary opponent, which I think is about, you know, real judgment, and that Amy Klobuchar voted no, Tina Smith voted no, the Minnesota congressional, you know, Democrats all voted no, except Congresswoman Craig, who voted yes. And I think that's just about judgment and who you're in relationship with and what you know about the communities you represent on the ground.
We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, continuing this conversation with Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan. She's the Democratic lead.
At Vistaprint, we know you've got that idea for your business, like the one that nails the trade show, levels up your brand, or makes your team say,
"We're really doing this."
But an idea is just an idea until it's printed on
signage, giveaways, custom apparel.
Once it's
in my hands, on my team, out in the world,
then it's happening.
It's so happening.
Vistaprint has thousands of products, easy design tools, and real support to turn that idea into something possible. Print your possible with code NEW20 for 20% off your first order at Vistaprint.com.
What is Toyota affordability? It all starts with buying smart, and your Toyota dealer has great deals available to qualified customers on reliable cars and SUVs, including the redesigned RAV4, spacious Grand Highlander, sporty Camrys, and Corollas. It means driving for less with efficient hybrid and plug-in hybrid options available throughout the lineup, extending your overall driving range and delivering great MPGs, saving you money at the pump. And it means trading for more. Toyota is known for building long-lasting vehicles. And as the best resale value brand, according to Kelley Blue Book, your Toyota can be worth thousands more than average when it's time to trade in. That's Toyota affordability. Buy smart, drive for less, and trade for more. Shop Toyota.com or your local dealer for deals and details. Vehicles projected resale value is specific to the 2026 model year. For more information, visit Kelley Blue Books, KBB.com. Toyota brand average resale value is 53% versus the average vehicle at 45%. Toyota, let's go places.
Summer routines live or die by how easy they are. And honestly, if something takes too much effort, I'm out. That's why Grunes is my go-to. It's one daily pack of gummies covering my greens, vitamins, and minerals. Plus, it has 6 grams of prebiotic fiber, which is more than 2 cups of broccoli. No mixing powders, no giant pills, no hassle. Just rip open the pack and I'm done. They taste good and it makes it easy to stay on top of my health, even when life gets busy. Save up to 52% off with code PODCAST at Grunes.co. That's code PODCAST at Grunes.co.
The GLP-1 pill you've been waiting for is now on Row. Yep, it's finally here. With the same clinically proven ingredient, now in a pill, and now on Row. It's the first FDA-approved GLP-1 pill for weight loss. At the lowest price available, that's one daily GLP-1 pill for big results. Now on Row. Go to row.co/listen to see if you qualify. Rx only. Go to ro.co/safety for serious side effects and boxed warning associated with GLP-1s.
Endorsed candidate for the U.S. Senate. We'll be right back. We're back on Sunday Take with Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan. She's running for the U.S. Senate Democratic primary against Representative Angie Craig. You know, in this kind of last segment, we were talking about Metro Surge before we took the break. Let's pull back. There's, you know, Minnesota has not had the economic growth that it once had. Our education scores haven't, you know, been where they, you know, traditionally have been. How do we get kind of that Minnesota vibe back to, you know, where Minnesotans expect healthcare better than other states, et cetera?
Well, I'd say a couple things. One, and I would, you know, be remiss if I didn't mention that graduation rates are higher for every student population than they have been in quite some time. And to be clear, right, that's not enough. But I do think when I think about what it is that we can do from you know, from the federal government side, you know, when it comes to education, and I hear this all the time, and I know that you do too, Blois, is that, you know, we need a strong early childhood system all the way, right?
Yep.
Through K-12 and post-education, if that's, you know, technical, if, you know, that's community college, four-year college or university, making that accessible to folks, I think we have to make those investments. But from the federal government, this is something that, you know, we've been talking about for a long time, which is that Congress has not met their obligation and the commitment that they made.
Yep.
For IDEA, right, or the Individuals with Disabilities Education Act, special education at 40%. You know, 20 years ago when I was on the school board, that was the same fight. Mm-hmm. And was told by members of Congress, like, sorry, kid, we're not in power, like, was sort of the vibe. And I think this is a place where literally Pete Stauber, Congressman Stauber, supports this. There is opportunity for us to get Congress to meet their obligation, because that is one of the biggest gaps that we see consistently in public school funding. We absolutely need to deliver services and education equity for our students with disabilities, and that will happen no matter what. And we need the appropriate level of funding and the commitment that was made by the federal government to be able to do that, because I think that's one of the things that is foundational for what we have with education. I also know, and you know, right, that we've got, you know, strong healthcare medical alley here as well. And we want to attract people, right, to the state, having, you know, robust systems in place. If that's, you know, again, education, childcare. I want folks to move to Minnesota because they see opportunity here. It might be cold, but it is worth it when you come, right? And you stay, and you can thrive in whichever community you choose to put down roots. And I look at something like, you know, like SAF, like sustainable aviation fuel, right?
Yep.
Which is something that I really nerd out about and I think is incredibly exciting. And that is, right, the public-private partnership that got that done. And now we are leading in that area of, you know, making sure that, you know, biofuels are part of our future. It is good for ag. It is good for business. It's good for, you know, MSP. It's good for Delta. And it's a place that has, I think, tremendous, you know, opportunity for growth. Those are the places where I think we have to do everything we can to find those opportunities for that public-private partnership. You know, the tax incentives that have been given through the legislature as well, like those are opportunities and places where I think, you know, we can invest at the, you know, at the state level, but also at the federal level. And, you know, the way you do that is maybe roll back some of these ridiculous tax cuts for the people at the very, very top who don't actually need them to provide opportunities for growth, you know, in this state and across the country.
Lieutenant Governor Flanagan, one of the kind of last topics here, you've been contrasting yourself with Representative Craig this last week. You held a press call to talk about money in the campaign. You know, if you want to do that, the best way to do it is maybe to debate more. I know this is one of my songs that I just keep singing, but I also am struck by your political mentor and hero, Paul Wellstone, never said no to a debate. So as you think about, you know, your last options here, I would just ask you to come on Sunday Take and debate Representative Craig, because public media doesn't always get the same audience as commercial media.
Well, we are debating three times, and you know that's what Congresswoman Craig asked for. And you know we've tried to work with her team to figure out those opportunities. I appreciate that. I'm also here, you know, with you today. Yeah. I'm quite happy to be doing, and I know that we'll absolutely, you know, do it again. But you know, you brought up the idea of you know dark money in this election and the disparity, and I would just say, right, it's pretty significant, right? $11 million has already been spent in this race on behalf of Congresswoman Craig. We're, you know, it's about 10 to 1 with folks who are coming in and, you know, this corporate PAC money, these dark money groups. And so, you know, one of the ways that, you know, we've been really trying to combat some of that is just making sure that, like, we're on the ground and we're talking to folks. And, you know, I know that for myself, I'm not taking a dime of corporate PAC money for this campaign because I think it's important to be beholden to Minnesotans and not to, you know, these other interests. But it's, you know, crypto, APAC, and AI billionaire health insurance companies are all, you know, weighing in and spending a tremendous amount. It is the most expensive primary that we have ever experienced here in Minnesota. And I think it's, you know, it is the best way to get rid of Citizens United is to demonstrate that you can run strong grassroots people-powered campaigns and win. And, you know, that's what we're doing right now.
You brought up APAC. You've said it before. Obviously, as a senator, you're going to have to deal with more global affairs. Where do you stand on Palestine and Israel?
I believe that, you know, we need a two-state solution. We may be further away from that than ever before. But I believe that, you know, children in Israel deserve to live in peace and, you know, shouldn't have to escape to bomb shelters in the middle of the night. And I believe that the people of Palestine deserve self-determination. And, you know, what is happening and what has happened in Gaza is completely horrific and unacceptable, and that the United States has to use the tools in its toolbox to get to a place where there is peace in that region. And I would say, you know, the reason that I brought up APAC is, you know, because I do not share their values. I think the you know, APAC has been pushing the agenda specifically of Benjamin Netanyahu to the detriment of, security. And Congresswoman Craig has been supported by APAC and is received more contributions from AIPAC than any other political entity through her entire career. And she was the only Minnesota Democrat and one of 14 Democrats across the country to vote to send 2,000-pound bombs to Benjamin Netanyahu. And this is at the same time that President Biden was working on a pause. So I think people are hungry for leadership that is grounded in getting to a place where we no longer tolerate the terrorism of Hamas, and where we use the tools in our toolbox to not allow the starvation and prevention of any kind of health aid getting in, and watching what the UN has identified, right, as a genocide as it relates to these Palestinian children. We can do more, and I think people expect us to act accordingly.
I know we will have more time to talk down the line. I appreciate your time today, and we can do one more debate, just so you know. You've agreed to three, but four is possible. So I hope you have a great holiday weekend, 4th of July, and some parades, and we'll talk soon.
Thanks so much, Blaise. Appreciate you.
When we come back, this week's take. We're back on Sunday Take. Want to thank Lieutenant Governor Flanagan for being on the program. I would expect another extended interview with another candidate next week. Hopefully, her Democratic challenger, Angie Craig. I want to just start the conversation by saying numbers continue to show that fiscal management of the state is going to be a top issue in this election. And therefore, we'll watch that carefully. I think one of the things to not dig into is not just what has happened, but what the plan is to go forward. And I think that's one of the challenges that people may or may not dig into. But there's certainly headwinds by the polls we've seen, the numbers we've seen about the future of the economy. And I want to just call that out and let you know that that's going to be something that we continue to watch, continue to ask people about. But I think it'll be one of those things in the general election that'll have more questions than in this primary election. So having said that, this week's take is really about the 250th anniversary and the money in politics. This past week, the Flanagan campaign made a big deal out about money in campaigns. And I want listeners to know that money is like water. It will find its way into campaigns. And candidates who claim their money is cleaner than anybody else's money, I believe, are somewhat disingenuous. Look, the rules are the rules. And if you're playing by the rules and others are playing by the rules, then criticizing that money is trying to distract from the real issues. Most citizens don't want to talk about money in campaigns. They want to talk about issues. They want to talk about topics that impact their daily lives. And the money in campaigns doesn't impact their daily lives. Of course, there's plenty of folks who view money in campaigns as evil, as horrible, as awful. And I understand where money and influence in campaigns can be a problem. But since Citizens United, the court has determined that outside money in the way of super PACs and secret money is real. Some people call this dark money, suggesting that it's evil or worse than other money. But the reality is that in Minnesota specifically, Democrats have had super PACs running ads against their opponents, being very organized, being well-funded for years. And they've played by the rules. So if others are playing by the rules, then criticizing them again is a shiny object that isn't about the economy, isn't about national security, isn't about the issues of the day. 30 years ago, there was an effort for a, quote, clean campaign code. And if you've ever listened to this show, you know I'm an absolutist when it comes to the First Amendment. And the reality is, on the First Amendment, I am an absolutist. And so back 30 years ago, when I was on the campaign side, people would ask me to sign clean campaign codes. And I declined. I encourage candidates that I advise to decline. Why? Because if you restrict yourself from critiquing your candidate or raising other issues and having some third party determine whether or not something's negative or not, you're handicapping yourself in a race. Politics is not a pillow fight. Politics is hardcore. Our forefathers fought tooth and nail with each other for decades, centuries, as we continue to do today. And so restricting that speech, restricting the contrast, does not seem to be in alignment with our forefathers or the First Amendment. With that, I want to remind people that money in politics is about free speech. If the rules are the rules and they are allowed, then one part of money in politics versus another part of money in politics doesn't mean one is dirty or clean. Of course, there are wealthy people who put their finger on the scale on both sides of the aisle. But that does not mean that that money is somehow different than other money. It all spends the same, as my mother used to say, whether it's a 10 or a 20 or a few singles. So let's stay on the issues. And I would urge my listeners to focus on those.
At Vistaprint, we know you've got that idea for your business, like the one that nails the trade show, levels up your brand, or makes your team say,
"We're really doing this."
But an idea is just an idea until it's printed on
signage, giveaways, custom apparel.
Once it's
in my hands, on my team, out in the world,
then it's happening.
It's so happening.
Vistaprint has thousands of products, easy design tools, and real support to turn that idea into something possible. Print your possible with code NEW20 for 20% off your first order at Vistaprint.com.
What is Toyota affordability? It all starts with buying smart. And your Toyota dealer has great deals available to qualified customers on reliable cars and SUVs, including the redesigned RAV4, spacious Grand Highlander, sporty Camrys, and Corollas. It means driving for less with efficient hybrid and plug-in hybrid options available throughout the lineup, extending your overall driving range and delivering great MPGs, saving you money at the pump. And it means trading for more. Toyota is known for building long-lasting vehicles. And as the best resale value brand, according to Kelley Blue Book, your Toyota can be worth thousands more than average when it's time to trade in. That's Toyota affordability. Buy smart, drive for less, and trade for more. Shop Toyota.com or your local dealer for deals and details. Vehicle's projected resale value is specific to the 2026 model year. For more information, visit KellyBlueBooksKBB.com. Toyota brand average resale value is 53% versus the average vehicle at 45%. Toyota, let's go places.
Summer routines live or die by how easy they are. And honestly, if something takes too much effort, I'm out. That's why Grunes is my go-to. It's one daily pack of gummies covering my greens, vitamins, and minerals. Plus, it has 6 grams of prebiotic fiber, which is more than 2 cups of broccoli. No mixing powders, no giant pills, no hassle. Just rip open the pack and I'm done. They taste good and it makes it easy to stay on top of my health, even when life gets busy. Save up to 52% off with code PODCAST at Grunes.co. That's code PODCAST at Grunes.co.
I'm Hannah. I've lost 75 pounds in 20 months with GLP-1s, plus diet and exercise. On Row, I've gone from struggling to run a mile to running farther every day. You can access FDA-approved GLP-1s online. Get the support you need to reach your weight loss goals. Go to row.co/weight to see if you qualify. I'm a paid Row partner. 20% average weight loss in 1 year in non-diabetics with obesity or overweight with a weight-related medical condition versus 3.1% in placebo arm. Rx only. To stay informed about serious side effects, go to row.co/weight.
Messi fans, Lowe's Messi Halftime event hits July 19th. That's coming up fast, so now's a really good time to become a Mylo's Rewards or a Mylo's Pro Rewards member. Join for free and get access to exclusive Messi moments and epic surprises. Let's just say halftime's looking different this year. Make sure to follow Lowe's on TikTok and tune in to the Lowe's Messi Halftime event on July 19th. Members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Issues. I would urge my listeners and these listeners to say, let's talk about the issues with candidates. Let's not talk about the rules of the race. If you get elected, maybe you can change the rules. Good luck. But the rules are the rules. And arguing about the rules in the middle of a game makes you look like one of those whiny World Cup players. Hasn't the World Cup been awesome? It's been so good. I'll watch a little USA tomorrow night, watch a little France last night, but overall, it's a good thing. Until next week, that's The Take. I'm Blois Olson. You can follow along every day at thedailyagenda.com. I'll be with Vanita Monday through Thursday. I hope you had a great holiday weekend. I hope you reached fresh, recharged, got some family time. Maybe even got a good summer nap. Until next week, that's Sunday Take.
At Vistaprint, we know you've got that idea for your business. Like the one that nails the trade show, levels up your brand, or makes your team say,
"We're really doing this."
But an idea is just an idea until it's printed on
signage, giveaways, custom apparel.
Once it's
in my hands, on my team, out in the world,
then it's happening.
It's so happening.
Vistaprint has thousands of products, easy design tools, and real support to turn that idea into something possible. Print your possible with code NEW20 for 20% off your first order at Vistaprint.com.
What is Toyota affordability? It's buying smart. Right now, your local Toyota dealer has great deals available on some of the most reliable trucks on the market, like the off-road ready Tacoma, rugged full-size Tundra, and the legendary 4Runner, each with the space, tech, and features to handle it all, from the worksite to the trails. It means driving for less, with efficient hybrid options available, extending your overall driving range, and delivering great MPGs, meaning bigger savings at the pump without sacrificing power. And it means trading for more. The Tacoma and Tundra are ranked number one and number two in resale value over all vehicles according to Kelley Blue Book, which can mean thousands more than average when it's time to trade in. That's Toyota affordability. Buy smart, drive for less, and trade for more. Shop Toyota.com or your local dealer for deals and details. Vehicles projected resale value is specific to the 2026 model year. For more information, visit Kelley Blue Book's KBB.com. Toyota brand average resale value is 53% versus the average vehicle at 45%. Toyota, let's go places.
Messi fans, Lowe's Messi Halftime event hits July 19th. That's coming up fast, so now's a really good time to become a Mylo's Rewards or a Mylo's Pro Rewards member. Join for free and get access to exclusive Messi moments and epic surprises. Let's just say halftime's looking different this year. Make sure to follow Lowe's on TikTok and tune in to the Lowe's Messi Halftime event on July 19th. Members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Diamond Dynasty has all new Red Diamond cards and World Baseball Classic content in MLB The Show 26. Collect your favorites and compete against the best. MLB The Show 26 is available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and Nintendo Switch. Rated E for everyone. Officially licensed by MLB Players Inc.